Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in the presence of the Lord tonight and to feel Him in this house. How many feel Him tonight? Amen. So good also to have with us Pastor Denny and Gail Dalton from God's House Church. Brother Denny will be ministering the word in the morning. Amen. Appreciate them. And it's been a while since we've got to see them. Amen. But they're family to us. So good to see them and so good to be with you folks. See so many folks that we love dearly in this place tonight. If you have your word, let's go to the book of Amos chapter 3. Go to verse number 12. This is what the Lord has just been speaking to my heart this week. And I want to just deliver out of my heart and out of my spirit what God has been speaking to me and dealing with me about this week. Amos chapter 3, verse number 12. If you found it, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad to see you tonight. Amen. What an honor it is to be in the presence of the Lord. Amos chapter 3, verse number 12. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear. Can we pray tonight? Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we praise you, we glorify and honor you in this place. We realize tonight that it is not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit that things are accomplished. And God, your Spirit truly is in this house. And Father, I pray that you will anoint your vessel to deliver the prophetic word that you have placed in our spirit for your people tonight. God, that we can encourage and uplift, God, and strengthen. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said,
amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Look at somebody and say, I will survive.
I will survive.
Though I'm barely alive. I will survive. Though I'm barely alive. Amen. Tonight I want you, and I'm telling you, I've wrestled with the Lord this week, but I do believe that we have heard the voice of God. And I want to deal with a subject tonight that may not be popular. It may not be actually even typical revival subject, but I believe that truly God is wanting to move in somebody's life tonight. I want to deal with the topic of spiritual warfare, if I can, for just a moment. When we begin to look into Scripture, and I want to lay a foundation tonight for a moment, and then we'll get into the meat of the Word, but how many knows that what we see physically, there's always a spiritual side?
Yes.
And as warfare intensifies in the natural, as warfare intensifies in the, amen, Middle East, as warfare intensifies in the United States, spiritually warfare begins to intensify. Amos is derived from the Hebrew word that means to lift a burden, to carry. His name meant burden bearer. Amos lives the meaning of his name by bearing, amen, his divinely given burden to declare judgment to a rebellious nation. Amos, this farmer, this herdsman, amen, was tried to be silenced or stopped several times. But like Christ himself, Amos was direct in his point, delivering the word. He did not, amen, dance around the truth. What we need today is some Amoses who are anointed by God to lift the burden off of the people of God. What we need today in this hour is some Amoses to declare that judgment is coming to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Spiritual warfare is not a subject, amen, that most want to deal with. But tonight I believe, I don't know about you, but I can speak on behalf of myself, that even though the warfare has intensified in the spirit, there has been great victory for the people of God. And I'm going to remind you tonight before you leave this place that even though there is a war and even though there is an adversary, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I want to remind you that you are the head and not the tail, and you are above only. I want to remind somebody the words of Isaiah. You can go through the flood and it'll not overtake you. You can go through the fire, but you shall not be burnt, neither shall the flame be kindled against you, because the Lord is on your side. I want to remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? What can separate us from the love of Jesus? Neither height nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor angels, nor demons. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, because we are made more than conquerors through Him who gives us the strength.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So I want to declare to you, you've got victory before you even get into this thing. But it is evident that if we are going to do anything for the Lord, especially in this hour, that there is going to be warfare, and there is going to be struggle, and there is going to be a heartache. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 reminds us, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
Yes.
For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians reminds us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, to put on the whole armor of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. And when you've done all to stand, stand therefore. You've got to understand tonight who you're fighting against. You've got to understand that this is not against a brother or a sister in the flesh, but you've got to know in this thing who your enemy is. I am reminded this week, I even told somebody dear to my heart today, I said, you've got to see the devil for who he is. You've got to know that you're not wrestling. I feel the authority of the Holy Ghost in here tonight. You've got to know who you're wrestling against. You've got to know who you and off with, because the enemy is out to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Amen. Come on. That's right.
I have never in my life in 33 years seen the people of God under such tremendous struggle as I have now.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
It's going to get better. Let's get through the rough stuff so we can get to the good stuff.
Blessing Lord.
But it's a struggle. In a battle, every day, getting calls, getting texts, getting emails, getting messages on Facebook, every day coming across people saying, I need prayer.
Come on,
I need help, and I don't know what I'm going to do. People who once was strong and in the power of God has now backed up because of the warfare in their life. Ministers who once preached cannot be found in the pulpit any longer. Singers who once sang cannot be found in the pulpit any longer because of the warfare and the struggle. Marriages are under attack. Children are coming under addiction. Do you hear me tonight? Homes are being wrecked. Churches are divided over silly stuff.
Come on.
And you know why? Because we're in a battle. And we're in a war. And it's about ready to wrap up. But I'm telling you, until He comes, we have got to contend. But I want to remind somebody, you've got to outlast the devil. Hallelujah. You've got to make up your mind that I shall are not carnal. If we are going to be successful in this thing, we've got to know who we're, amen, fighting against.
Amen.
You got to know who you're up against.
Right.
Any contender in any event studies who they are contending with before they enter into the match.
Amen. Yes,
they did. Come on.
Amen.
Yes.
You say, well, I'm about to get... I heard somebody say, well, I come tonight to shout. Guess what? I've come to give you something to shout about. Because, amen, I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I know the voice of the Lord this week. And I knew that when I entered into this place, that there was going to be some folks who have been through some real stuff this week, who have been through some strongholds and strong battles. And the Lord has sent me tonight to let you know you're coming out of this thing.
Thank you, Lord.
You got to know who you're up against.
Yes.
You got to study every move. One writer said, be not ignorant of the enemy's devices.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Come on.
Yes.
I'm just going to be bold.
Come on.
And real. We have focused a lot in the body about the emotion.
Come on.
And I'm emotional. And we have focused a lot on church growth. And we have focused a lot on programs. But we have not focused a lot on who our adversary is. And you've got people who know how to sing it right. They know how to dance it right. They know how to do everything right. But in the heat of the battle, do they know who they are in God? Do they know who they are in the presence of Almighty God? Do they know the enemy for who he is? Revelations tells us that in the end, we're going to look and we're going to say, is that he that troubled the nations? Is it he? Let me tell you something. You know why I can rejoice tonight? Because I've got a reservation. You know what my reservation is? I've got a front seat to an event that's coming up where I'm going to see the adversary bound hand and foot with chains and be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And that makes me want to shout hallelujah. So we've got to break this down. We've got to know that we're wrestling against, we're contending, we're fighting over the forcefulness, the trickery of the enemy. Principalities means commencement or chief and various applications of order. Magistrates and powers that rule. Powers mean superhuman influence. We're contending against rulers of darkness in this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Wickedness in high places, destructive plots, iniquity in the sky or the celestial. Can I tell you something? The devil is organized.
Come on. Yes. Come on now.
His army is organized.
Yes, they are.
He knows exactly what he's doing. But he also knows what the end result is. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be sober and to be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour.
Yes.
And the Lord, amen, begin to tell me, my people are intoxicated in the middle of the battle.
Right.
Amos said, out of the mouth of the lion. I begin to, Pastor Dave, look at the lion. Not the lion of the tribe of Judah, which we're going to shout over in just a moment. But I begin to look at the characteristics of the lion as compared to our adversary, the enemy. And the word says to be sober and to be vigilant, which means to not be drunk and to be awake.
Right.
Because our adversary roameth about to and fro as a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. And God began to deal with me. Our people, he said, my people are intoxicated. Somebody say, well, I don't drink. I'm talking about in the spirit. What are we intoxicated over? We're intoxicated over the battles of this life. We get intoxicated with struggle. Been there, done that. Been there this week, to be honest with you. To the point to where we focus more on the battle than we focus on the one that can bring us out of it. Amen. And if the enemy can get our focus, our attention, our strength, and even our praise in the battle, and to be focused on what's going on instead of who is going to bring us out, we get intoxicated. Yes. Now you've got to understand the characteristics of a lion. And you've got to know that a lion is a social animal. By hunting together, they can gain a bigger prey. Bigger game means more food. They're social, which means they don't hunt by themselves.
Come on now.
Come on, blessing.
Come on.
Which means where there's one demon,
come on,
there's another.
That's right. Come on.
When you're contending with one spirit, there's another spirit right next to it. And another. That's why Jesus, what did the word say? When the house is swept and garnished, he didn't say one's going to try to come in. He said seven are going to try to come in. Why? Because the enemy and the spirits of wickedness and demonic presence work together. Where there is anger, then there is another spirit of murder. Oh, help me tonight.
Come on, brother.
And strife and bitterness and hatred. Where that's why addiction, amen, will take over somebody's life. And that addiction, amen, that spirit will cause other strongholds in folks' life. Listen, that's why we've got to realize this is not a game anymore. This is not just a social thing anymore. It's not just something we do because we, that's all we know to do. This is our life, people. This is our survival. We got to know that we know that we know. Who we are. So they come together and they try to destroy. And what happens in our lives is the enemy lurks to try to catch us off guard. Lions are also expert scavengers. They obtain 40% of their food by stealing what doesn't belong to them.
Come on now.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
The enemy wants what doesn't belong to him. Is this all right? The enemy is after to get what he does not have reign to get. He does not have rights to your joy. He does not have rights to your peace. He does not have rights to your health. He does not have rights to your children. He does not have rights to your grandchildren. He doesn't have rights to your family. He doesn't have rights to your marriage. He doesn't have rights to your home. It does not belong to him. He doesn't have rights to the keys, to the kingdom. He doesn't have right to the anointing in your life. It's not his. But you can give it to him if you're willing.
Oh, man.
And he thrives on taking something that does not belong to him. You've got to understand, he knows what it's like to stand in the glory of God. Yes. He knows what it's like to stand and see the glory in the celestial beings of God. He was created by God. He knows what it is to stand in the throne room of the Almighty. And his access and his privileges were taken from him. And because of who Jesus is, and because of the covenant that we have, he can't stand it. Because you and I can come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petitions known unto God. He can't stand it because we've got authority and power through the blood of Jesus to defeat him. He can't stand it because that he feels better about himself. But I want to know tonight, what have you given up lately? Preaching to myself. Listen, folks, I had to digest this and repent before I gave it to you. Because life is life.
Right.
Yes.
And life is hard.
Yes.
And even though a lot of times we come in here and we shout the glory and the presence of God, when we leave this place, we, amen, go into life and it's hard.
Yes. Yes. Come on, brother.
And we cry and we struggle. We come in and people shake our hand and we smile and say everything's okay. But on the inside, we're in a battle.
Yes.
Come on, brother.
Yeah. We're in this battle. I'm talking, amen, to somebody tonight who says, Brother Leslie, I go home at night and I lay my head down in the pillow and I can't sleep because my mind's tormented. I'm talking to somebody tonight that says, Brother Leslie, my body is under tremendous weight and pain because of the struggle. I'm talking to somebody that says, Brother Leslie, I go home to an empty house where I once was happy, but I'm not happy anymore because the enemy has come and he's ran my household. Well, honey, I've got a word from God tonight to you to let you know that the devil isn't going to run your house any longer. You got to take authority and power against the enemy, because God's about ready to give somebody their house back.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, shout me down, somebody. And if this is just for one person, I'm coming after you.
That's right.
Come on, brother. And I don't mean to sound mean or ugly, but I would rather see somebody set free in their mind tonight, Pastor. I would rather see somebody go home and get their house back than people jump up and down and fall out and run and leave here bound the same way that came in.
Yes.
I'd rather see somebody set free than anything else.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
So the lion steals what does not belong to him. The lion does most of his hunting at nighttime. Why? Because the devil ain't going to just walk in and say, hello. I'm here. Let me in. Avon calling. But that sneaky, slithering slew foot in the garden is still doing his work today. His deceitful ways, putting just as much God in it as he can to make us feel okay about it. Why do you think there's all kind of winds of doctrine in the house of God today? Amen? I'm telling you, folks, if you could stop and take a survey of some of it, I'm going to be just honest, some of the garbage that's being preached behind America's pulpits in this hour, you would be shocked. That's why the enemy has convinced folks that there's not a hell anymore. That's why the enemy has convinced folks not to preach on sin anymore. That's why the enemy has convinced folks of this greasy grace mess that's being preached, where you can do whatever you want to and grace is going to set you free. Can I tell you, grace and mercy is available for the child of God, but it's not a license for us to do whatever we want to, act any way we want to, preach any way we want to, and live any way we want to. We still got to live right. Still got to act right and talk right. So, but the enemy has put enough gospel in it that people think it's okay. And now, churches have become a pacifying center and motivational speaking. And people come in by the hundreds and thousands and they leave the same way because the power has left.
Right.
But I'm talking to some people tonight who says the power of God is still in this place.
Amen.
You know why? Because because I felt him there and I still feel him here. And I'm here to tell you that even though the enemy's deceitful and he's slithering and he's trying to work at night, the Holy Ghost is going to shine a light and he's going to expose. I'm telling you, I was talking, I said it once before, to a soul that was devastated this morning, Pastor. Amen. He was crying and he said, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And the enemy, amen, had him confused. And the Holy Ghost raised up in me on the phone. And I said, you've got to see the devil for who he is in this day. And you got to quit letting the devil do what he's doing. And now's the point where you got to get angry with him and tell him that you're going to take back what he stole from you. Some people that says my foot's on the rock, my mind's made up, I'm getting what belongs to me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And what the lion does, Pastor Denny, is the lion, the pack, lions in a semicircle, and they sit back. And they stalk their victim.
Right.
And they wait for the right moment. And they wait for the right time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you sat in the front seat, you might as well be used. Guess what? You can't get me back in the morning. I love this guy. This is you and I. Amen. The cares of the life. Saved. Sanctified. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Man of God. Pastors. A wonderful church. Has love and compassion in his heart. But he's going through a struggle.
God bless him.
Going through a battle. I'm just using him as an example. Maybe he is and maybe he's not. I don't know. If he is, God's going to set him free.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But the enemy, confusion, heartache, pain, infirmity, whatever the lion's name is they stalk. Be sober.
Yes.
And be vigilant.
Yes.
But then all of a sudden life comes and we get intoxicated.
Amen.
And we get intoxicated in the struggle and in the battle. And we hold on and we trust. But for just a split second, Pastor Gail, we turn our back and we lose our focus on God. And when we are vulnerable, and can I tell you where the lion goes for? When the lion comes, I ain't done with you. I know you're my elder in the Lord. Amen. But you know where the lion goes? He doesn't go for the foot.
Nope.
He doesn't go for the arm. He doesn't go for the heart. He goes for the jugular vein. He goes through the thing. See, listen, if he can, the Lord just spoke to me in my spirit, and he said he wants your jugular vein so he can steal your praise.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, Lord.
Because your voice is a weapon tonight.
Yes.
Why do you think our worship moved God? Yes. Why do you think our worship and our voice moved heaven? Hallelujah. Because we were created above everything else to give him praise.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We were not looking. The lion, what he does, and amen, studying this, is he takes his paw and he puts it on the face of the victim. And then he takes his jaws and he bites the neck and he suffocates the victim while grabbing a hold of the neck. And while that victim is breathing, the more the victim breathes, the harder he climbs down.
Come on.
Harder until the victim is almost lifeless on the floor. You don't have to get on the floor. Hallelujah. He said, I'm not. put him down. But he's lifeless. And the enemy grabs him.
Yes.
And every breath is a struggle. And he's barely alive. There are some people in this house tonight. You've come into revival. But every breath that you draw gets harder and harder and harder in the spirit because of the battle. And the enemy's got you held around the neck. And you try to praise him. But the greater you try to praise him, the harder the enemy clamps down. But I'm here to tell somebody, though you're barely alive, you will survive.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. Because the Bible says that out of the mouth of the lion, the shepherd.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because some of us have been there and some of us are there now where we are in the mouth of the lion. We have been devoured. We have been destroyed. But I'm here to tell you that there is the good shepherd. Now we're getting to the good stuff. There is a good shepherd who knows his sheep and knows their voices. And he is not going to sit back. Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. It's time we give Jesus what he paid for. He paid for you. He paid for your home. He paid for your marriage. He paid for your health. He paid for your praise. He prayed for your life. He paid it all when he died on the cross. We need to give him what he paid for. It belongs to him. We need to give him what he paid for.
Hallelujah.
We lay there and we're barely even surviving. And we're breathing and we're crawling and we've been devoured and we tell ourselves, this is the worst thing I've ever been through in my life.
Right.
And at the point where we're almost devoured, all of a sudden, the good shepherd comes.
Right.
Hallelujah. A shepherd means to tend or to pasture or to graze, to keep or to rule. John chapter 10 says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and they are known of me.
Yes.
Peter 2 and 12 says, he is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. 1 Peter 5 and 4 tells us that he is the sheep chief shepherd. Hebrews 13 and 20 tells us that Jesus is the great shepherd.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
And he said, out of the mouth of the lion, two legs or a piece of an ear. He didn't say two legs or an ear or a mouth. He didn't say two legs or an ear or a heart. He didn't say two legs or an ear or a couple of eyeballs. But he said two legs or an ear. Because as long as you've got two legs to stand on and an ear that can hear,
amen,
you will survive.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He didn't say our eyeballs because it's not what we look at.
Right.
He didn't say our mouth because it's not what we say. He didn't say our heart because it's not about our emotions and it's not about our will and it's not about who we are. But he said two legs or an ear. I'm looking for some people tonight at the sounds of victory on a Saturday night revival that says I've been through warfare, but he's not taking me out because I've got two legs to stand on. The Lord spoke to us not too long ago and he said, I'm still standing.
Yes.
Why can I stand? He said, because it's not you that's standing, it's my word that's standing. You know why I can stand? Because of his word. You know why I can declare victory when it doesn't look like it? Because of his word. You know why I'm healed when the diagnosis says I'm not? Because of his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know why I'm blessed? Even when people says I don't deserve it, because of his word.
That's right. That's right.
God's been moving. God said there's a fresh oil for a fresh season.
Yes.
Can I tell you what God's doing in this hour? Is he's picking up the pieces of his people.
Amen.
When Ezekiel, and I'm almost finished, but when Ezekiel stood and looked at those bones, he didn't see an army. But God did.
Amen.
Ezekiel saw chaos. Ezekiel saw dryness. But God saw an exceedingly great army. Can I tell you, you're looking at your mess tonight and you don't see the end result. But when you look at it the way that God looks at it, he sees you healed, he sees you delivered, he sees your children, instead of putting a needle in their arm, they're lifting their hands and giving God glory. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? He sees your children that struggle with sickness in their body, healed, sitting in the house of God with you tonight. He sees your finances blessed. You got to see it the way he sees it. He sees the end of the battle before you even know you're in the battle. Can I tell you, if he could, the enemy would have took us out. He's had opportunity to. I could go around this room and talk to men and women of God that says, I've been through it, preacher.
Come on, brother.
I've almost given up. I almost stopped. I almost threw in the towel. I almost thought I couldn't make it. But I had an ear that heard his voice. And I had 2 feet and legs that I can stand on. And even though you look at me and I'm a mangled mess, and even though you look at me and I'm bloody and bruised and disgusted, even though you look at me and everything's a wreck, I'm still standing. Hallelujah. We were at lunch today. Asked the sister, how you doing? She said, I'm still standing. And my spirit leaped in my, hallelujah, and my spirit has leaped in me. I want to do a Holy Ghost shout and PF chains. Hallelujah. And it wasn't over the lettuce wraps either. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm still standing. I've been through the fire, but I'm still standing. I've been through the flood, but I'm still standing. I've been through sickness, but I'm still standing. I've been through heartache, I'm still standing. I've been through lies, but I'm still standing. I've been through ridicule, but I'm still standing. I've had stones thrown at me, but I'm still standing. Oh, I'm never giving up. I'm never backed out. I'm still standing. Why can I praise him? Because I should have been dead. Why can I praise him? Because I should have been destroyed. Why can I praise him? Because I should have been bound. Why can I praise him? Because I should have been in a grave, buried 6 feet under. But I'm still here. And as long as I'm here, I've got a right to get here. Oh. Hallelujah. Declare to the enemy that rising up, rising up. We don't care about name. We don't care about prestige. We don't care about pats on the back. We don't care about glory. All we care about is the presence of God. I hear the Lord say to somebody tonight, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. There are some people who have stood and thought that you would never make it out of this. And they came by and they seen you in a mangled mess. And somebody's in this place tonight, and that's exactly where you are. It's not that you're not saved, you're just a mess. The lion has come and had you for lunch. Do you realize that when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, according to Bible history, the lions, hallelujah, it was their lunchtime. Did you know they starved them? They didn't give them lunch. Daniel was supposed to be their lunch. But at the end of the story, their mouth was shut and Daniel survived.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And the enemy is out for your blood. Because it's your blood that redeems you. Oh, it's his blood through you. And the enemy has mangled and messed up. And there's been people that have come by and they've looked and they said, I seen that coming. And the tragedy, please take this the right way, is we're so quick to judge instead of helping them get up.
Yes.
When we've got to realize the next pile of mess might be you.
Come on, brother.
We're so quick to say, I saw that coming. Well, guess what, baby? The next pile of mess might be you. And it might be me. But you're my brother. And you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together, let us work until it comes. There's no form that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as we're together, we will stand. Can I tell you what God is doing? Is he's raising up people in this hour to go to the broken, the deserted, the lonely, the abused, the ones that are mangled mess, and we're going and we're saying the good shepherd has need of you.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I hear somebody saying, but I'm just two legs and an ear. How can he use you? Well, let me give you a word from God. Can he not restore you?
Amen.
I may have shared this, and I say this in closing. I may have shared this with Pastor Denny and Pastor Gail at their church. A couple of months ago, Pastor Joyce, I was in the middle of revival, and we were preaching. And the Lord opened up a vision to me. And, you know, when that happens, I tend to, because it don't happen very often, while I'm preaching. And I saw myself. And I saw myself standing in a line all by myself. And I saw items on the floor. And I saw myself walking backwards instead of going forwards. And Pastor Eddie, as I was walking backwards, I started picking things up. And I started grabbing a hold of them. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, did I not say, I will restore unto you the years that the locust and the cankerworm and the palmer worm had eaten? And God expressively spoke to me and said, the promises that I made your forefathers, the promises that I made your grandfather, the promises that I made your father, the promises that I made, amen, the men of, in your amen, heritage, family members, amen, of mine who have went on, amen, amen, my cousin Jim, who Brother Acree and Sister Acree knows, went on. He said they died looking for the promise and they never obtained it. He said, but since I'm a God that keeps my word, he said, I've chosen you to obtain the promises that I've spoken to them. I don't know what kind of church was in here before Sounds of Victory. I know, Amen. That you guys were in Dayton, Ohio. Or Dayton, amen, Kentucky, not Dayton, Ohio. Hallelujah. Same thing. East, west, north, whatever. But the promise is, that God spoke to you in Dayton, Kentucky. Because you left that building, those promises did not stay with that building.
That's right.
But those promises followed you. Promises that God made you before you even pastored have followed you. Promises that God had made my grandfather. My great-grandfather was a pastor in Portsmouth, Ohio. Pastor of the Portsmouth, Ohio Church of God. Amen. Started it. Hallelujah. And I never got a chance to meet him. He was dead and gone before I was even born. But I heard stories of how God spoke to him of things that he did not yet see come to pass. Can I tell you, I'm going to see it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to see it. Why? Because God is going to restore the years back to us. And God spoke to me and he said, Smith Wigglesworth is dead.
Yeah, come on.
A.A. Allen is dead.
Come on, man.
Catherine Coleman is dead.
All right.
Azusa Street is gone. Toronto is gone.
Come on.
Brownsville is gone. He said, but my anointing is still alive.
Yes.
And he said to me, Pastor Eddie, he said, when I anointed the prophet Elisha, even in the grave of the prophet, when they threw the man in the sepulcher of Elisha, the anointing raised that man up to life. He said, even though Smith Wigglesworth is gone, his anointing is still alive. Even though Catherine Coleman is gone, her anointing is still alive. Even though these folks are dead and gone, the anointing is still alive. And God's raising up some people that's been through some warfare so he can deposit that type of anointing in their life.
Amen.
Because I'm not going to read about it any longer. Because there's a move that's here.
Yeah.
It's not coming, it's here. We're not going to have time to tweet it. We're not going to have time to post it on Facebook. We're not going to have time to put it on YouTube. We're not going to have time to do all that. Because God's going to move it quickly. But he's looking for some vessels.
Amen.
That he can use. So I'm looking tonight for some folks that says, even though I'm barely alive, I will survive. I'm standing here. I almost didn't even make it to church tonight, preacher. I almost didn't even make it out of my house tonight, but I'm here. I almost let go. I was right at the edge of my breakthrough, and I couldn't see it. The song says, he held me, so I wouldn't let go.
Right.
I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. Maybe it's just for one, two. But I know one thing. If God sent me all the way from Columbus for just you, it was worth my trip. To let you know that even though you're in this place tonight, and you've come in, and you're acting like everything's all right on the outside, on the inside, you're going through it. And the enemy's devoured you. He's tried to spit you out. He's tried to defy you and to bring you down. But God has sent me here with a word to tell you that you're going to survive this. Because when you come out of this, you're going to be stronger than what you did when you came in. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody.
Amen.
Give the Lord a shout of praise in this place. His word tonight.
Yes.
I'm barely alive, but I'm going to survive. Let me tell you tonight, folks, God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
And I have not given you anything tonight that I have not experienced myself. you, Jesus. Because I'm telling you, my heart is fixed on obtaining everything that He has for me.
Yes.
Until He comes.
Yes.
And I realize that as I pursue Him, that I'm going to be pursued after.
Yes.
And the closer I pursue Him and the harder I pursue after Him, the harder I'm going to be pursued after.
Yes.
And I got to know I'm going to be all right. Because guess what, folks? This thing's wrapping up.
Yes.
I'm not a predictor, but I can tell you based on signs, based on the Word of God, Jesus is coming quickly. He's coming. His return is so close. The enemy doesn't know the day or the hour, but he can discern the season.
Yes.
And he knows, Pastor Joyce, that it's soon to come to a close. Jesus is coming. This could be the very year, physical year, that we see the return of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm not saying it is or isn't. Mm-hmm. But this could be the year that He comes down and tabernacles with us.
Yes.
And takes us. And if that's the case, we got to be ready to go.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I want to leave you with this, to let you know that even though it's going to get harder, on one side of judgment, there is judgment and the wrath. But on the opposite side of judgment, there is mercy and grace and blessings.
Yeah.
For His people.
Amen.
Even though that the Hebrews were in Egypt and the plagues came, God blessed them and He brought them out. So don't be dismayed at the things that are going to happen and are happening, because you got to understand that on the flip side of that, look up, for our redemption draws nigh. Give Him praise in this place tonight. I know it was a little bit different tonight. It meant different for me. Hallelujah. I would have loved to come in and to preach something to make somebody excited and run. But I've come tonight to see somebody set free.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. You can shout and run in the morning with Pastor. Hallelujah. Pastor Denny. But as you're standing your feet all over this place and someone comes to play for me softly tonight, for just a few more minutes, and I've come and I've bared my heart tonight to you to be obedient to God. Who are you tonight? First and foremost, if you do not know the Lord as your Savior tonight, if you're not saved, if you're not washed in the blood, this is a good place for you to get saved tonight. For you to get redeemed. Secondly, if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, if you're saved but you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, this would be a good place tonight to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is more than just a tongue talker.
Amen.
He's more than just somebody that flaps our lips in tongues.
Amen.
But He is my leader,
yeah,
my guide, my comfort. He's the breath of God in me. So if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this altar's open. We want to pray for you and help you seek for the Holy Ghost. And thirdly, if you say, Brother Matt, you've preached to me tonight. I'm that one. I'm that lamb. I'm that animal. I'm in the lion's mouth. I've been devoured. I've been destroyed. I've been through the battle, I've been through the heartache, I've been through the struggle, but I'm ready to come out tonight. Can I tell you, the good shepherd is in this house. At the point where the devil was getting ready to swallow you up, put his mouth down on the last piece of who you was, and you were going to be swallowed up in his stomach, the Lord reached into his mouth, and He's pulled you out tonight. Say, how can you say that? You're here, aren't you?
Yes.
You're here, right?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. prayer tonight. This altar's open. Hallelujah. As one has already came. Amen. You're in a battle. You're in a struggle tonight. God's come to meet your need. God's come to talk to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can we get some sisters in the Lord to help her pray tonight? Hallelujah. There's some more in here tonight. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. I feel that in my spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come.